With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We'll talk to Ray Fittipaldo later this week. We talk to him just about every week this time of year because the draft is right around the corner. And he did his latest mock draft for the Post-Gazette yesterday. Ray Fittipaldo posted it yesterday afternoon. And much like I saw CBSSports.com mock draft as well project this, a running back for the Steelers with their first pick in the second round at 49 overall. We talked a little bit yesterday, Colin, about how because of the way Kevin Colbert approached free agency, the Steelers are a team that's set up to not have to pick a certain position necessarily with their second and third round picks. There are directions they should consider going, certainly, to help bolster some depth. I don't know if running back is one of them because I don't know if running back right now for the Steelers makes sense to have a sit-and-wait talent like Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin, Clyde Edwards-Helaire from LSU, which I saw on one website, or does a running back draft pick at this point for the Steelers, especially if it's with that 49th overall pick, does it have to be an immediate contributor right away?
Yeah, I don't hate the running back being taken with that 49th pick, but the stockpiling of talent doesn't make any sense. If you bring in Jonathan Taylor, okay, so say you bring in Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin, right? What is he like? I don't know, 5'11", like 225, right? Like he's kind of not a hybrid back, but he's a guy that can run away from you. He can run through you some. He's a guy that profiles as an NFL back. I think he can help you. Now, are you bringing him into this sitting and learning sort of process? Isn't going to work for a guy like that. And it is going to work in terms of the depth chart. If you bring in Jonathan Taylor, who's a big school back in a big and would be your first pick, right? You bring him in and you say to James Conner and you say to Benny Snell and you say to Jalen Samuels and whoever else you got, Kareth White, I guess. This guy's here to play from day one, and he's part of the mix. He's going to try to win a job or win carries or, win playing time right now. If you're not doing that, it makes no sense. There shouldn't be somebody that you take with that pick at 49 that you're trying to cultivate their career, and the first year is kind of a redshirt year, and then you get into it and you kind of bring him along. To me, that doesn't make any sense, especially at the running back position where you feel like you have some guys already. I don't know. It's time for James Conner to be challenged more and even his playing time challenged a lot more. And if you bring somebody in, they should be playing right away or they should be game time ready.
What's the sense on
a guy bringing him in and not giving him a helmet on Sundays or fighting for that last spot and covering kickoffs?
Well, yeah, and I think if it were a 49th overall pick and it were, we'll use the two names again that I saw yesterday. Jonathan Taylor is the one Ray Fittipaldo put in his mock draft. Again, CBSSports.com had a new mock draft that had Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the running back from LSU, in that spot to the Steelers. They've got to immediately be a part of the mix, and I think that has to be the first question that's asked. As the Steelers are working through what they want to do at that spot, and they ask themselves the question, if they do, are we willing to take a running back there? If that's the best player available on the board at that point in time, are we also going to be concurrently willing to use that running back as part of a three-man mix, as part of Connor, Snell, and draft pick A, or whatever it may be? And Mike Tomlin has to be asked that question because traditionally, and look, when it was just Le'Veon Bell being the bell cow back for the Pittsburgh Steelers, it made sense because Le'Veon Bell was a guy who could touch the ball 25 times a game and impact it and continue to impact it positively. When you get now to the point where you've got Connor and Snell, and like you said, maybe Samuels, maybe Kareth White, I don't know, maybe there's a draft pick involved, you're going to have to commit more to how you're piecing these running backs into your offensive equation. Is Benny Snell the short yardage guy? Is James Conner the third down back? Or in this draft pick, the number, sort of the 1A? Or do you simply rotate them through series after series? That's something that Mike Tomlin still hasn't been able to figure out as a head coach. Is he can say as much as he wants. He can go into training camp every year saying, hey, I want to have a stable of running backs that we feel like we can mix in and find the right combination of usage for them. Or he can say that and then get 4 weeks into the season and once again show all of us that he'd prefer to just have a lead back who carries most of the time.
Well, rotationally using the running backs is something that's up for heavy debate here in Pittsburgh under Mike Tomlin. And it should be. And now you also have to wonder if he really thinks that James Conner is his number one back, and I question that. I mean, I think that you can't help but question that now going into the year that you're going in with James Conner and his inability to stay healthy. Is the way to, if you think that James Conner is your number one guy, is the way to ensure his health maybe to use some proactivity, to go right off the bat, to start game one, and to rotate backs, and then instead of coming out strong with James Conner being your number one back in week one, to ensure that he's your number one back in week 16, to kind of shave some of the carries off at the beginning of the year and go rotational, or just go rotational throughout the whole year? I think that's a really good question, maybe a really good tactic to go with, to be proactive about it.
And I think the question is, how much are they willing to embrace that? Because A, is James Conner your number one back because he's proven he still needs to be your number one back? Or is James Conner your number one back because he's simply the incumbent and that's just what he's been? Because if you draft a guy, if you spend that draft capital, again, this is your first pick, and maybe we're going to put undue expectations on that 49th overall selection because it is the Steelers' first pick of the draft. But if you're going to spend what is your most valuable draft capital on a running back, then that guy, you could make the argument, should be your 1A, and Snell and Conner can be your complementary pieces, especially in Conner's case, because he's proven over the last year plus that he can't be relied upon to be the 1A back. And if that's the case, you know, you're making a commitment that, if, again, you're Mike Tomlin and you're the organization, you better be willing to pay off that commitment with changing your strategy and changing your thinking about the position. And I don't know if they've proven yet that they're willing to follow up their thoughts about what they want to do at running back, as they've had previous off seasons, with the actual actions once they get to game one, week one of the NFL season.
I'm not against drafting a back with that 49th pick at all, Chris, but I want to see him in games right away. That needs to happen. I want to see him play on Sundays in games right away.
And as a part of a mix, maybe, but you've also got to be ready, willing, and able to deal with the fact that Mike Tomlin might look at that draft pick, if they end up taking one, and saying, well, you know what, this is our guy now, and he'll end up running that guy into the ground, possibly. I don't know. It all comes back to their willingness to change their philosophy at that position. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line. What do you think? Several mock drafts, including Ray Fittipaldo's yesterday, saying the Steelers could take a running back at that 49th overall spot. The one thing to keep in mind, and I'll be curious to see if this affects the Steelers' decision at all when the draft comes around regarding a possible selection of a running back on one of those day two picks in either the second or third round, Colin, will be James Conner entering the last year of his deal. And that'll certainly telegraph a good bit whether they believe in his ability to stick around beyond this first rookie contract or not.
Yeah, I don't think James Conner should be given – James Conner will be treated like the incumbent because he knows the playbook, he's been here as long as he's been, and he's a guy that's been a Pittsburgh Steeler. After that, and again, it's their decision, but if I was a general manager, I would treat James Conner as if he's fighting for a job, as if all terms are equal, all things are equal. Like this notion – and again, it's an unbelievable story, and believe me, I know it – probably more than a lot of people do. But James Conner, in what he's done in his life and everything that he's overcome, I think needs to be separated a lot of times once you start playing football. And once he started playing football, once you get into that aspect of it, two things rise to the surface. One, he's had trouble securing the football in big situations. And two, he's had trouble staying healthy. Those are two things that have marked his career as a Pittsburgh Steeler. That's just the truth of it and the reality of it. And I think that when he goes into camp, when camp finally gets going, it should be an absolute open audition at running back. Now, in saying that, if they go running back by committee, it opens up some spots for different people to get some different carries, and he might be one of them. But I don't think there's any way that it should be like you need to knock off James Conner or beat the champ in order to be the Steelers running back or in order to get some carries here with this football team.
Yeah, he doesn't. He hasn't proven in the last year and a half, as much as he did during that, what, 5-6 game stretch in 2018, he hasn't proven that he is of that caliber, that he is the number one back in that backfield right now because of track record. He is that number one back in that backfield right now simply because, well, he's just the guy who's done it most recently. And I think, it would certainly be interesting to see if they were to use, again, that 49th pick or even the pick late in the third round on a running back, what that tells us, again, who knows what training camp may look like come late July or August, but what they think about the mix and how they actually try to activate any kind of mix between those backs, between the draft pick, between Benny Snell, and between James Conner. Because I think if it's that 49th overall pick and it's a Jonathan Taylor from a Wisconsin, or like I said, a Clyde Edwards-Helaire from LSU, the two examples that popped up yesterday in different mock drafts that I saw, then that becomes, okay, maybe that guy becomes the 1A and James Conner becomes more of a third down role and Benny Snell takes on a short yardage role. But again, we have yet to see Mike Tomlin in any of his offenses over the last few years really be all in on the thought of having a backfield by committee, even when he says that it sounds like a good idea, because when it gets to putting it into practice, it just doesn't get done.
Yeah, maybe it's time for Mike Tomlin to change his thought process, though. That's where it is, because it hasn't necessarily led to the successes that he's wanted. You know, this is a Pittsburgh Steelers team that is now, it's become epidemic not making the playoffs. Maybe it's time to change things and change their MO.
And you can make the argument that even when it did make some sense, because Le'Veon Bell was capable of being a number one feature, do-it-all kind of back, that his lack of durability is what led to issues in the playoffs when they had him as a part of the team, because if they had gone with more of a mix at that point, maybe we're not talking about key injuries to Le'Veon Bell late in the season and into the playoffs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.